Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Captain Jim Shandon, Major Program Manager for Future Combat Systems Open Architecture of the U.S. Navy. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve, partner in IBM's DoD practice. Captain Shandon, why did the Navy decide it needed to move towards open system architecture, and when was that determined?
Well, first, there's been, I think, a movement of firsts in the technical community for several years about moving towards open architecture. But nothing in government really moves until there's an instruction or a policy that comes out. And first, it came from OSD. The Department of Defense came out with a policy towards modular open system architecture. And some of the listeners may have heard of MOSA, which is the acronym for that. And that requires some sort of test or evaluation of a program before any one of its milestones, and they run through a tool to do that. And the group under Acquisition Technology and ATNL, OSD ATNL, they have a program called the Open System Joint Task Force, and they lead this MOSA strategy. So that's already been ongoing. But the Navy particularly started looking heavily at open architecture in the 90s. First, it happened in the submarine community. There's a program called ARCI, Acoustic Rapid COTS Insertion. And the Navy had a challenge in that we had increasing threat to be concerned about, at the same time an affordability problem on our submarine systems. And the investment in submarine systems is first always in safety and in the hull and mechanical and electrical part of it. And we had to do some trades, system trades, in the combat system piece of submarine. So they looked at the acoustic processing and wanted to figure out how we can improve performance there. And so they tested open architecture in that program. And it was successful over a period of time. As we learned from that program, the Surface Navy then realized that they needed to be able to take advantage of COTS processors. COTS is commercial off-the-shelf processor computing technology. And they had to get away from the monolithic legacy development that we have done so well and has performed well for us in many of our ships. And through a series of meetings in the 2002-2003 timeframe, the Navy realized that we shouldn't just focus on the surface Navy community of interest, but we had to approach this as an enterprise, really looking at the Navy as a business and across the whole Navy. And so that's when PEOIWS got the role in 2004 officially to do that, and we set up this enterprise and broke it down across five different communities of interest. We call them domains, but a community of interest is probably a better way to term it. One community of interest is the surface. PEOIWS is the lead for that, and we work with the other PEOs in PEO ships, PEO carriers, and PEO littoral mine warfare. Then on the air community of interest, we that's the other domain, and that's led by PEOT, and they work with the other PEOs in NAVAIR, the Naval Air Community. And then it's a little bit easier to break up the domains for the next three. One is submarine or undersea warfare, and that's PEO subs. Then there's communications, what we call C4I in space. And that's the PEO out in San Diego. And finally, PEO space. So those five communities of interest were set up, and that's when we kicked off the effort that I lead now.
Captain Shandon, by any measure, we've established our Navy as the most technologically advanced in the world. And you referenced the Aegis combat system earlier. And you did talk about some of these points, but why do we need to change the way we're doing things today?
You've probably heard the term stovepiped before. The computing infrastructure we have today in the fleet is performance limited, and it's very expensive to upgrade. And by a stovepipe system, it's built from the ground up, and it doesn't take into consideration like systems on other types of platforms. The reason we had to change is because that's just too expensive. And we had to figure out a way to take advantage of what's going on in the computing industry. Instead of relying on building our own computers, the question is, why can't we take advantage of what we're witnessing out in industry? The demand for computers today is so great that the speed of computers, the processing capability of computers is better than many of the computers that we had on board ships to do some of our most difficult combat system problems. So it didn't make sense to continue down that path. It only made sense to take advantage of cost processors.
This sounds like an awfully large endeavor for one program manager to be responsible for, and I understand you've recently picked up some additional duties as well. Your office is setting up the infrastructure that will help change the way the entire Navy enterprise does business. What other organizations are a part of the transformation effort, and how do you manage all of this?
You're right. A captain by himself or herself cannot do this alone. It requires everybody in the Navy, especially from leadership, making sure that everybody at my level and below are working together. You mentioned that I have a new responsibility. The program manager in integrated combat systems, Mr. Reuben Pitts, had to be detailed down to Naval Surface Warfare Center, Dahlgren Division, to work some organizational challenges down there. And my PEO, Admiral Frick, moved me over to fill that gap. So my responsibility in that role is I'm responsible now for the computing infrastructure on board all of our ships and also the integration effort of our sensors and our weapons through that computing infrastructure. Again, one person alone can't do this sort of thing. One of the things that we set up in the OA side of the house was something called the OA Enterprise Team. And it's among the five different communities of interest that I already said, we have representatives at the captain or senior government level, GS-15 level, and we meet regularly and discuss things often because each community of interest has their own path forward. And it's too hard and too unwieldy to make everybody travel down the same path together. Somehow we have to share information where we can build synergy at the same time. We need to be able to go off and do what we're chartered to do, whatever that may be. So we set up this organization, the OA Enterprise Team. And from that enterprise team, we've been able to work out issues. And it's required a lot of the typical new organizational challenges, the Storm and Foreman Norman kind of thing. But after 2 years, we're – a lot of the same people are still around. We're working very well together. We've built a trust. It's, you know, like any family, sometimes there's problems, and sometimes we have to work out those problems. But the thing is, we are all headed down the path together, so that's the good news.
What are the technical and engineering aspects of developing an open system architecture?
Well, I kind of described the legacy systems that you had. And when you have a closed architecture, it typically the applications, the algorithms, the code, source code that's tied to that closed system are unique to that system alone. It might be a specific language. It may be some nuance just associated to that specific system. When you say, okay, we want to introduce COTS into the combat systems on board are airplanes and submarines and ships. The companies out there that are building computers today like Dell or IBM or any other company like that, you know, they're not building military applications and selling them out to the general consumer. So we have to take – we have legacy applications or unique military applications that we have to then – right on board these COTS processors. So the challenge there is how do you make that happen? How do you translate the languages of something very unique and military specific to write on something that's designed to be used maybe even in the workplace with a commercial technology? The way we do it today is first by breaking apart the operating system code from the unique military code, and we use middleware to do that. And that's We've been fairly successful in doing that. Even in the Aegis Combat System today, the recent, most recent baseline, they've been able to test that, and out in the fleet today, actually have systems that are open in the sense of modular openness, not total business openness, but certainly in the technical side.
And is OA just technical, or are there business aspects of business architecture that goes along with that?
No, again, I probably didn't say that well enough in the earlier questions, but that was probably the biggest thing that we learned when we set up this OA process. When I took on the job and talked to many industry leaders and people within the Navy and various engineers, they said, hey, Jim, all you have to do is get the standards down. Just get the standards straight and everything will solve itself. And they made it sound very easy to me and actually very attractive. Unfortunately, nothing's that easy. And I found soon enough that that technical solution is exactly the way people have tried to approach it for several years, and they were failing because that's all they were trying to do. Business and industry does exactly what we tell them to do, and they do it well. And it happens only by getting your contract language correct, your business models correct, and setting it up in the way that makes the ultimate product successful. Industry has always done exactly what we've asked them to do, but we have not asked them contractually to open up their business lines. And they're not going to do that until we get that business part set up. There's no forcing function. There's no incentive. There's no way to award them for that type of behavior that we want. So we have to change the business model as well. And it turns out that's probably one of the key things in this whole policy as we move forward.
Typically, we also hear the words net centricity and interoperability. And it sounds like optimally that this effort around open architecture would extend beyond just the Navy and Marine Corps, and that the Army, Air Force, and other national defense and intelligence agencies should be doing projects like these as well. Are they, and do you work with them regularly?
Yes and yes. Let me describe it this way. A few years back, you may have heard the term Sea Power 21 when Admiral Clark came out for the future of the Navy and kind of gave us a strategy to focus on the Navy of the future. And one of the elements in that was something called ForceNet. And people at times have a very difficult time describing what ForceNet is, but it's really a simple definition for it. ForceNet is the integration of people and systems of systems and family of systems to give some sort of distributed capability by the latter half of next decade. So when this policy came out or when this strategy came out, there was time to figure out what this all meant because we weren't even working the POM processes or the budgeting process for the latter half of next decade. But we are doing that now. In the budget cycle that starts in 2008, it ends in 2013. And what you build in 2013 gets fielded in 2015, latter half of next decade. So with ForceNet, the focus there is on this distributed capability, which requires some level of interoperability. But you cannot engineer ForceNet. It's too futuristic. It's something that we still truly do not understand. So you need some sort of tool. You need some sort of enablers to make ForceNet happen. And open architecture is certainly one of those enablers, maybe not the only one. But we're out front on open architecture, and it's going to help us along the way.
Great. How is the current budget environment impacting the Navy system development efforts? We will ask Captain Jim Shannon, Major Program Manager for Future Combat Systems Open Architecture of the U.S. Navy, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.